Kia ora tātou, nau mai, hara mai, ki tēnei tūranga mō tātou, nō reira, nei rā hau hei tīmata tātou nei hui, he karakia tēnei mō tātou. Nō reira, e taunei ki rungi e tātou katoa, te wairua o nā mātua tūpuna, nā rātou i whakatakoto te ara hei hi koina mā tātou nā uri, i whakatoa ki a tātou ngā kai ki ngā tikanga, hei arata ki a tātou ki a nākau nui, ki te hāpai e tātou mahi katoa, i roto i te pono, i te tika, i te māramatanga, me te aroha anō tētahi ki tētahi, koe ara e rongo, whakairi ake ki runga ki a tīna, haumie, huie. Kia ora tātou.
Thank you, Kevin. So there's 2 minutes, the first question, you get 2 minutes to answer. Okay, so we're all clear. Are you okay, Ray? Can you?
Sorry, I'm losing my voice, so.
He's a little horse. In the gay world, that means something entirely different. Just saying. But yeah, anyway. It could still be Ray, but anyway, we won't go there. So 2 minutes for the first answer to the question. Whoops, I digress. So the first question is not too long. Some of them are very long, so I'm just warning you now. You have to keep your listening ears on. The first question, and how we do it, is that I've got all your names, and I put them in the bowl, and I get Lucas over here, because he can be trusted, I can't. and we get Lucas to pull it out. No, this is your intro.
So that's the first question.
Yeah, the first question is your intro. The first one is Tori. Okay. So then we'll pull it out each time and we're all clear? Cool. So the question is, tell us what you think is important for us as rainbow communities to know about you.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko pakoho tuki iri, tuki iwi, he uri tēnei nō taranaki ko tō e whanau tōku ingoa. I suppose the important thing to know about me is that I've been a long, long-standing supporter of rainbow rights. I've very much relied heavily on the community before deciding what's best for the community, and that's a promise that I'll always make. For instance, when I was working at the Green Party, Jan Logie was our rainbow representative, so I would often liaise with her before even communicating about certain topics. And the Green Party also had a rainbow policy group as well, who would input into our policy decisions to make sure that they were best. And I think from what I've heard so far from these groups in terms of where I'd like to prioritise is some of the biggest things that have come up is, of course, we need to increase our housing supply, but we need to ensure that we have queer-friendly spaces, queer-friendly homes, because that's been so that people can feel safe. Another issue is access to mental health support services. So that's something I'm going to strongly advocate for and ensure that the right NGOs are funded, whether it's from the council or government. And of course, drug and alcohol harm reduction is a big deal for me too. And look, this is something that I'll always keep checking back with organisations like yours. But I essentially just want this city to feel safe. To feel safe and to feel vibrant, and that it's your home. So I think, yeah, that's me.
Wow, that was nice and concise. Thanks, Tori. I should have mentioned earlier that we're taping it, recording it as well.
Oh,
so you may see this room of, you know, only 300 people, but there are another 1,000 who will be listening to
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
In years to come, I'm sure. Or holding you to account, as the case may be. All right. Oh, Paul's next. Okay, so handing it to Paul.
Same question, yeah.
Yeah, same question.
Sorry, yeah. Tēnā koutou katoa. Wonderful to meet those of you who I don't know in here already from the 300 people here this evening. But look, it is a true pleasure to be here. And thanks to Wayne, Hamish, and Rainbow Wellington for hosting us. For those that don't know all about me, Wellingtonian, proud. But for me, and it's significant sitting in a church, because the last time I was in here, I said my father was a Methodist minister for nearly 50 years, and we came to Wellington, and Dad had the little church in Newtown behind Ashley Court Pharmacy by Newtown School. And my first experience really was that Dad had said, you know, we want to open up this plant for the Rainbow community. And back in those days, that was a real no-no. You didn't have a mainstream church that, and I said to Dad, oh, what's all the fuss? And he said, oh, I don't know, but it might be my last Sunday at the rate I'm going. So a bit of a rebel, but actually doing the right thing. And I was probably a bit young to understand what was going on, to be honest. But it was the same spirit that he had in terms of being a bit of a social justice warrior, being on the front line for the Springbok tour, again, young. Wasn't too sure what was going on, but what I knew is that things were wrong. And of course that was a race issue. This was something around including all people, regardless of gender, whatever. It was just like, you know, I want to make sure those that choose to worship have a safe place to do so. And so that was my first experience as such. And then it's fast forwarded in terms of being a Labour MP, and we've done some really great things around conversion practices. I sat on the select committee that looked at putting a new way of being gender inclusive, and that was painful for some, but not for me. Ding. And that's a little bit about me. Kia ora.
Wow, that was fast. It goes fast, doesn't it? Well done, Lucas. Thanks, Paul. Next person to pull out of a hat is Ray. Well, that's funny. You're holding
right.
The mic.
Right. Thank you, everyone. Sorry, as I mentioned, I'm losing my voice, so a bit croaky here. My sister-in-law and my niece are members of the Rainbow community, and so when I looked at this meeting coming up, I went to talk to them about the differences, and they said that they like to be treated the same as everyone else. They don't like to be singled out all the time to be different and have different treatment that other people aren't getting. And so we had a long discussion about my experiences, and for those of you who don't know, I've actually worked internationally for the last 25 years, and I've worked in 46 different countries, and I've met a lot of very, very different people, different cultures, and very diverse. And I find that in some places they have very, very strong opinions about the Rainbow community and what, a sense of what's right and what's wrong. Quite surprisingly, a lot of this came from Singapore when I was working up there, that a good friend of mine up there said that, oh, New Zealand has actually just changed the law to allow gay marriages, so, you know, what do I think about that? And I said that I've never been involved with these decisions, and so I didn't really think much of it at all, because my views before I actually started travelling were quite different to how they changed afterwards. I was brought up in I went to St. Mark's Church School here, and then before going to college, and so I was brought up with mainly a Christian background and understanding, and so of course there's lots of different rules and standards and morals and things that they have in these schools. But once I went overseas, I actually found that people were pretty much the same. We all wanted the same sorts of things in the different places that I went to. I sort of went over with the expectation that... Sorry. Okay, thanks. I can continue on with questions later. Thank you.
It's a very good point. There will be time for questions afterwards. Thanks, Ray. Next person is...
Andy! Thanks, Hamish. Where I'm going to start is that there are three core values that our council's operating on, which I absolutely subscribe to. They are creativity, sustainability, and inclusivity. And obviously, this is all about inclusivity. So some of the things that we've done over the last 3 years, obviously, Queer at Council is, I think, accelerated and grown. We have set up a Takatapui Rainbow Advisory Group, which I think is a really positive initiative. One of the things that really I love about the job that I have is working with people and meeting the diversity of people. And so my key promise to you is that, and I think I pick up what Tori said, is that everybody needs to feel safe, to feel valued, to feel respected, and to be able to be who you want to be regardless of what anybody else says. And I will defend everybody's right to do that to the death, and it doesn't matter who you are in our community. I have this view that everybody deserves to have their turanga waiwai, their place to stand, their place to be who they want to be, how they want to be. And that's one of the things I think Wellington is pretty good at, but we've got to get better at it as well. And I see times when there is a sense of people trying to divide each other, and I think one of the things that for me being the mayor is to try to bring people together that is really, really important. One of the things I'm proud of over there's many things that we've done over the last 3 years. One of the things I did want to particularly focus on is when we had the Speak Up for Women event at the Michael Fowler Centre. And I know that a lot of our transgender community felt that they felt uneasy about that. They felt threatened by that. And so myself and Councillors Fitzsimons and O'Neill worked together, and we lit up the Michael Fowler Centre while the speaking was going on inside. We lit up the Michael Fowler Centre in the colours of the trans flag, and we had an event outside to say, basically, we support you. And that is my key message, is I support you, and I will continue to support you through thick and thin. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Thanks, Andy. And remember, this has been recorded, and you did say to the death.
And I mean it. But I'm not volunteering to go early.
Well done. Ellen, would you like to share with us?
Ngā mihi nui pōneke, ngā mihi ranga aniwa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. So I'd like to say vote Ellen Blake, number one for mayor. I'm an independent candidate, and I have a great vision for Wellington. I think it's a wonderful city already, but I think we need to do a lot to solve some of our big issues. But I think we have some strengths. And so my three kind of policy platforms, I think, will all benefit the rainbow community. And so I'll be happy to talk about that some more. But I just wanted to say a little bit about me and why my relationship with the rainbow community is just been asked. So I grew up in Pōneke, and I always saw the rainbow presence here as a normal and valued part of living here. I used to go to school. I used to live up there, and I'd walk down here to school and wander around town and walk past Carmen's great outfit on Vivian Street, and that was just the way it was. So I know also that a lot of people come here to live in Wellington because it's quite an inclusive and accepting place, and I think that is fantastic. And it's particularly, you know, people who want to come and live in like alternative places that maybe you can't in the Wairarapa, for instance. So I want to be clear that I support the rights of all members of the rainbow community, and I'm aware of some of the issues faced by the community. I don't know everything that's going on, but I'm also very open to talking some more about that. So I think that, as we've heard from other people, that all people should be able to live their lives free from fear and discrimination, and it's an important part of my vision for Wellington. And I'm really keen, as a person that's involved in a lot of community activity, to make sure that when we come up with solutions for stuff in Wellington, that we talk to local people to solve some of these big global issues, but also to making sure people feel safe and included in Wellington. That's really important. Vote Ellen Blake.
Thanks, Ellen. And thanks, everyone, for sticking to the time frames. I know it's hard. Okay, so the next question. This is a 30-second one. And you have to take an item of clothing off as you... No, just kidding. At the same time as answering the question, you have to take an item of clothing off. No, I'm just joking. sorry, limb gone out on. Don't need to sign that. That is... sorry, the... Okay, so it's quite long. So there's history first. The Wellington City Rainbow Advisory Panel was promised by former Mayor Justin Lester. During Andy Foster's tenure, the panel was formed. Question, how will members be chosen in future, or what criteria will be used for choosing panel members in future? Have a little think. Tori, you're on. I know, first again. Life's like that sometimes. When you're first, don't worry. Yeah.
So first of all, I want to say I'm 100% commit to this panel. I think it's incredibly important, and our community need to be, as I said earlier, feeding directly into our policies. I think the way that I would do it, like other panels, is a nomination process, and really working with organisations like yours and even the Green Party Rainbow group as well, to encourage those nominations. And I'd have to be very careful about who selected the successful panel, but look, this is a hard question. But
it is a hard question.
Yeah, commit.
That's why you got it first. Next one is Andy.
Well, I'll echo the commitment to making sure that the panel continues. I think the challenge with some of these panels in terms of selections is that the community itself is very diverse, and so making sure that every voice in that community feels that there is some representation there. And the same will be true. I mean, we've got an aspiration to set up an ethnic and faith community as well. Diversity is massive, so it's how you manage to make sure that everybody gets that voice there. So if there is an issue in how it's selected, then I think we go back and we have a conversation, we have a hui about how we do that selection, because there is no right or wrong way.
Agree.
Okay, got agreement there. Ellen.
Sorry, I have to be a stand-up person. Yeah, I think it's a great idea to continue on with this panel. Good one. So how do you pick people from the community? You ask the community generally is the best way. And if you have trouble getting representation, then perhaps the people who are most involved with the community. So I've seen that on other groups, that you might be one person who is great but isn't that involved. So that's one way of helping that selection process. Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. You guys are awesome. You're doing this so well. Next person is Paul.
Yeah, look, I totoku what's been said already, and I think it's been said if there is an issue, then let's get the groups involved to reset it. And the greatest thing about an election is you've got a chance to reset it if things aren't right, so you can put it right. But it very much has to be driven by the sector that that the group represents. So that's you guys.
Thanks, Paul. And it must be right left, you go.
Right, thanks.
Sorry.
All I can do is agree with what's already been spoken, because it seems to be the most democratic and logical way of doing things. What I find with a lot of groups, and, you know, not looking at this group in particular, but I find that a lot of focus groups get hijacked by radicals and different people. And this is in residents' associations in different places. So I'm always trying to push for a democratic method of doing things. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Ray. The next question is, older people are more likely to become infected with COVID, and this may even lead to death. COVID hasn't gone away. What would candidates do to encourage safety measures like masking? Andy, you got first.
This is one of those where we take the advice of the Ministry of Health. I don't think any of us as politicians would be well placed to try and make up some form of mask wearing or some sort of regime which is different to the advice we're given. I think it is very much a choice at the moment that people can use. But for example, when you go into a rest home, then you're required to. If you go into a facility where people are sick, a medical facility, you're required to at the moment. And I just think we continue to take the advice that we've been given, the very good advice being given by the Ministry of Health.
Thank you. Does anyone disagree with that? Oh, you do. Oh, you want to add to it? You can go next, Tori.
I mean, yes, we should take the advice from central government, but I was personally disappointed with the advice. I don't think we were ready to drop a lot of the mandates. When we listen to our vulnerable communities and our disabled and immunocompromised folks, they are worried. You know, and I really do not think it's too much to ask people to wear masks in an internal space. I do about 90% of the time. I'm not today because I'm a speaker. So I share that concern, and I feel that concern. And
thank you. Go, Ellen. Ellen can go next. Thanks.
Okay, sorry, I'm going to have to stand up. I just can't do sitting down. So I really support the public health measures that have been in place, and I'll take advice from the Ministry of Health definitely. But also I think as a leader that you can lead by example. And so I wore my mask in here today, and I think that's a really positive thing that you can do. So, yeah.
Thanks, Ellen. Do either of you want to contribute further or... No? Did you want to add anything further? No? Thank you. We covered it. So Sandra's got a question. And this one, she's testing my reading abilities, okay? So Sandra's question, listen up. I'll only say it once. The government's own survey says sexuality diverse folks, especially bisexual people, experience more crime, feel less safe, and are less likely to report violence, all kinds of violence, than straight, or I'd say pre- or post-gay folks. This survey doesn't yet ask enough trans or non-binary folks to be able to report, but everything else tells us trans folks are targeted for all the forms of violence, all the time. What do you think the City Council... be doing to improve safety and well-being of Takatāpui and rainbow folks, including violence prevention? And a sub-question is, would you consider a zero-tolerance policy on this, in the city? First person to answer is it Tori? No. Ellen!
Okay.
This one's 1 minute.
Okay, this is a big question, so it's good there's more time. But so there's a lot of things that people can do, that a city council can do to make a city feel safer. And a lot of it can be like long-term design and infrastructure stuff. So you have better lighting, you don't have funny little corners on buildings, you make it easy to walk places and don't have to wait at traffic lights like out here. 3 minutes in the middle of the night is not much fun. So you can change things like that. But there's also, you know, the Paniki, is it Paniki Poniki? That's the name of the program that's happening at the moment. So some of those things might help. But also, like, one of my real platforms is that we have better public transport and better walking connections. And I think making public transport frequent and efficient is really important for getting not just safety, but climate action as well, which is a different kind of safety, isn't it? So, making the buses go faster than the cars so that's an option for people to use as well.
Thanks, Ellen. Next answer from, and this question was from Sandra, is Tori.
This question is actually incredibly important to me. So I'll start by saying it's really important for leaders in privileged positions like the mayoralty, and credit to Andy because he has done this, is we need to advocate for trans rights. Trans women are women, trans men are men, and end of story. If I was lucky enough to be mayor, I'd continue the good work of Andy and advocate for those rights. We talked about a panel before, so we must have a trans representative on that group. And it is about making, inputting into that safety policy, Pūneke promise, and just creating those safe spaces where they can just be. And look, I suppose I'm just saying that I would be a passionate advocate and ensure that your voice was heard in all of our policies, especially our safety policy, mental health policy, and others. Thank you.
Thanks, Tori. Andy.
There's two things that I think we need to do. The first one of them, Pūneke Promise, is about the way in which we organise the city safety and CCTV and lighting and working with police and HOSPO and DCM and all those sort of organisations. It's actually a second generation. And if you go back to the first generation of safety initiatives, which Steph Cook brought in many years ago, that happened because Jeff Whittington, a young 14-year-old gay boy, was beaten up and died as a result of that. And I think... So we can do the physical stuff, but the other stuff that's really, really important is for us as leaders to stand up and say, this is not okay. It is not okay that anybody is beaten up, not okay that anybody is bullied for who they are. And so for me, that mantra of being inclusive and supportive of everybody. And one part of that supportiveness is also that we do awards from time to time. It might be a small thing, but sometimes to recognise the people. Like the other day we had the Absolutely Positively Wellington Awards, and we recognised Scotty and Mel for their fabulous work that they have done in this in the Rainbow community. So it's celebrating the heroes of the Rainbow community as well.
Thanks, Andy. Ray?
Thank you. I find this quite a difficult question, because my basic tenet is that the more you divide people, the more divisive people become. I found this when I was working in South Africa, that under the apartheid era, that the longer it went on, the worse it actually affected each of these different groups. So I found we set up a factory in Africa, and so we employed people from the different groups to actually work in there. And I found that the best way to actually get people together was to actually treat them exactly the same. So, I find it very hard to say that we're going to have one policy or one law for one group of people and another one for another. And I think that this the Paneke promise that we have, I think that's a policy that is over-promising and under-delivering. If you look at Pigeon Park, they took the car parks away and put pot plants in there. I really don't think that's going to change anything. Thanks.
And Paul, thank you.
Oh, look, just to mirror what's been said, but I think you do, as a leader, need to be really overt about this and just integrate it into the conversations. And I've really seen, just being part of the Pride Parade, I've seen you, Mr. Allardyce, but that has changed. I see, a real confidence in Wellington, and I think the next the mayor of your city, the capital city, I talk about restoring the mana of Wellington in terms of a vision, and this is a big part of it. But I think just overt, not normalising, just sort of celebrating it, doing more. That's me.
Thanks, Paul. The next question is from Rainbow Young Person. I'm not very good at reading, I'm sorry. But anyway, safe spaces are important to our communities. These need to include spaces that are quiet and reflective. Does the future mayor have any plans to create parks or transform common spaces into LGBTQ+ places where we can reflect on our past leaders and triumphs and be inspired to follow in their footsteps? First one is, God. And this we'll do a minute, two in a minute, Senna. Andy.
Well, I can tell you some things that we are doing, and the central city is probably the core part of this. So we've set up a community centre, which used to be the old Capital Liquor building, and I was on the licensing hearing, which we kind of went, this is causing a problem, so we got rid of it, and we've got a community space in there which is being really well used. We are going to be setting up a youth hub fairly soon, again in the Courtney Place area, and that's been co-designed with young people. So I would hope Rainbow Youth have been involved in co-designing that, because that's a space that is going to be used and operated the way that young people want it to be operated. And the other one which we've talked about is as a space in the library, if you want that quiet, reflective space. So in the new library that we have, that sort of space, it will be co-shared, co-design, co-manage, whatever, emblems from whoever it is, the Rainbow community, other communities as well. But it's a space that people will be able to use as a quiet, contemplative space in our brand new and really exciting library.
Thanks, Andy. Ray.
Because I don't really know the feelings from each of these different groups about what they actually want, where they actually want it, how different a situation they actually want to have these places. I don't really have much comment on that, but I agree. I sort of agree with what Andy's just said, and I think that I think that we could have some joint spaces. Thanks.
Ellen, yeah. I'll be the standing up one. So I think that's a really cool idea, actually. One of my platforms is that there are some significant gaps in our Green Park network. We don't provide for girls, we don't provide very well for teenagers, we don't provide for disabled kids, and we certainly don't provide anywhere for people with cognitive impairments like dementia or a whole range of things. So some of those places require calm
peaceful places, and being in green is really good for your mental health as well. But I think having an LGBTQ one would be really cool as well. So let's do it. There's significant gaps in who has access to some of those spaces. So that's outside space. Obviously, we're in this fantastic church at the moment, which I think a lot of churches provide space for people to come and be quiet. And there's the council's doing other things inside as well. So let's just do it.
Thanks, Helen. Next was Paul.
Yeah, I think the ideas that have been talked about are great. We talked about the advisory group and maybe integrating this onto their agenda. I guess there's one thing that we could normalise and actually integrate into things. So rather than thinking that we need to find a space in the afterthought, you know, when public housing and public spaces are being built, it's just integrated in. So that's one thing I would like to champion and to normalise.
And Tori.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically just rewording what you said, which is having your lens on all of our public spaces and community spaces to make sure that they feel safe for you. However, I do support a separate space as well, because this is about feeling safe. This is your space without needing to worry about, the judgments or thoughts of other people, because we come with our different worldviews in the same way that I would feel safe on a marae and want to reflect. I think we do need to encourage separate spaces for various groups, for marginalised groups. So, yeah, that's what I would add to what has been said.
Thanks, Corey. Next question is from Henry. It would be good to hear their thoughts on what the council's role is re-support for rainbow organisations in Wellington. 30 seconds. And starting with Tori.
Oh, there you go. So support for rainbow organisations?
Yes.
Council? I mean,
yes. Council support.
I mean, I would 100% support.
But what, maybe there's a dollar value on it. I hate to, as it might be. It's not my question, but just, do you think there might be a budget for this somewhere or? I don't know.
Add it to the budget.
So you're going to put a line item, is what you're saying, Tori.
I will put a line item in.
This has been recorded.
Back to basics.
Yep. Is that a million cents? Let's keep it real.
A line item and of course input into that whole panel development as well.
Okay, thank you, Tori. So we're on the short ones. Ray?
My platform in running is on two things, and first is getting the infrastructure done before anything else, and the second is to stop council spending and wastage on focus projects. So I would, following this line, I would resist council spending any money on anything. However, I may put the money in myself, and I've said that before on various projects that are going to cost a significant amount of money. I will pay for it myself.
Thanks, Ray. Sorry to cut you off. Paul.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure how much the city puts in right now in terms of a line item. That I'm not sure if they actually have one. One thing I'd be keen to add is to see what we could do from central government. They've allocated money, for example, the mental health, the $4.6 million there for Rainbow Youth, and making sure that lots comes to Wellington, the capital city. Mm. And to make sure that our people are getting what we deserve. And so it is a competitive experience at times, but to champion that.
Thanks. Andy?
I was going to say, Paul, you're well placed to do that in your current role. So
yeah.
just a hint. Look, I think the
I think Andy just told Paul to stay there. Okay.
Andy's just fine. I think what's being referred to, I mean, we do have a pretty significant grants pool, and I'm trying to remember roughly how much it is overall, but I'm going to say it's probably in the order of about $10 million. And I do know that we support a number of rainbow organisations, through that, but I couldn't tell you the details of that. That's where I would say we make that support. I think one of the things that I'm going to give Paul credit here is the idea of making sure that we actually give longer term grants rather than short term ones, so give people certainty and organisations certainty. So I think that's something which we should be doing.
Thanks, Andy. Ellen.
Yes. So, I'm just going to say that there are community grants available from council for a whole lot of groups, and they do some quite good support. And that idea of long-term funding is really good for a whole lot of groups. So, but the other thing I was going to say was that one of the things I talk about is healing from COVID. I think we actually need to take some active action to heal and for get people to come back together. I think we've all been in little boxes for far too long, and so one of those things would be to have one of them would be open street events, but I'd also really welcome, a rainbow event.
Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, everyone. Great stuff. Now, has anyone got any questions from the floor, as it were? Oh, you're closest, and then we'll go to at the back.
Testing.
Wayne.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm a friend and supporter of Tories, and I'm wearing the sash, but I have a lot of respect for everyone up there. I just want to ask this question, and she doesn't know the answer to this question because I just made it up now. But effectively, I'm really interested in about you as people, and it's about your leadership style. So I think, can you please tell me about what is about you as a person? What is it about how you operate as a leader, which means you can bring a diverse range of people towards your vision, but also bring a diverse range of people to want to work with and for you?
Very important in this current climate. And we'll give you 30 seconds, because if you can't get there in 30 seconds, you've been too long. Go. First one is that one. Tori. Oh, again.
My leadership style is to basically, even if not technically, remove hierarchy. So it's about ensuring that people feel like they're an equal part of the process, that whatever the strategy is, the vision is, they have a part to play. And that's exactly what I would do on council, and what I've done at Parliament is, whether it's workshopping, whatever, MPs have a say, staff have a say, and then they just kind of like, that's the way you kind of bring them on the journey. I created a really safe and inclusive environment at the Green Party, and it's something I'm really proud of. But it's just...
Well done, Tori. It's amazing. Anyway, Ray, go.
Thanks. Again, when I run teams of people sort of looking after different areas, I've always tried to treat them all absolutely equal, because I find that when you start showing favouritism, or you start giving particular people or groups more time, that's when the problem starts. So I would continue that, and I will treat everyone absolutely equal.
Thanks, Ray. Andy.
Yeah, look, I think it's about bringing everybody together. So it's not just the people who are around the council table, it's also the officers, it's also the communities involved in those, whatever the issues might be. It's building up the information, the case, it's logical, it's strategically coherent, it fits in with everything else. So it can be really, really simple, it's blindingly obvious, other times it's a lot more complicated. So, but it is getting all the voices together. And as I said earlier, I think one of the things which we've got in this community is people pulling each other apart, and I think we've got to bring people together so that people can hear each other and go, maybe I test my own thinking as to whether I'm right or not.
Nice. Thanks. Ellen.
Okay, so my kind of experience that I really value is having done a lot of work with community NGO groups. So that people will come because they're voluntarily, so they can leave pretty quickly too if you don't look after them well. So some of it is having that kind of common vision about where you're going and getting people to buy in. And I just really value that everybody has a right to be here. That's where I start from. And it's really important to me that people don't get elbowed out of the way, and that we all find a way that all of us can work together and live together.
Paul.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the work that I've done really at the grassroots too, so I know many, many community groups and have been involved in trying to achieve their aspirations. And I think that's one of the greatest things, is that I'm integrated into what they want to do. And they will define and work with me on saying, look, here's where we need help. And so I'm really happy to be just a player as part of the team, as well as take different roles, take the lead role. I note the power imbalance that comes with the role that I have, and that's something that I'm aware of.
I just want to add that I make the organisation feel like one big whānau. That's what I was meant to end with. Thank you.
Thanks, Tori. Is that one big you?
Wow.
Sorry. My goodness. Going visual. Did you want to have a question, Wayne? Oh, sorry, over here. Sorry.
This is just getting a little more specific about a question that was asked earlier. I believe it's the Counting Ourselves survey showed that around 1 in 5 trans people will experience homelessness over the course of their lifetime. They're also quite likely to experience sexual violence. But a lot of the services that are available, both in housing and sexual violence, are not receptive to their needs. And so a lot of trans people will just not go to them. Like, a lot of trans homelessness doesn't look necessarily like going to those shelters. It looks like crashing on your friend's couch or doing survival sex so that you can get a roof over your head, that kind of thing. So what I want to know is what each candidate proposes to do to improve those services and to make sure that there are trans-specific services available. I would also request in the answers, like, please just stick to talking about trans stuff. I'm not interested in general stuff about public transport or comparisons to apartheid or whatever. So yeah, what are the specific policies you would have for trans, non-binary, intersex people, people who need those kind of services?
Thank you. And will a 30-second reply be okay? Yep, sure. So 30 seconds, starting Andy's first.
I suppose the first thing I would ask is a question as to what that looks like for you and how that would work and how we can make it work, because as I said, we need to be inclusive about our housing to make sure that there's housing for everybody. Probably the biggest thing that we're doing at the moment is setting up a community housing provider so we can actually build more social housing. If we can build more, I hope that some of that will be able to be more trans specific. But I'd be really interested in actually having more dialogue to actually understand what that looks like.
Cheaper rents.
Okay. Cheaper rents. Well, okay, so cheaper rents. So I can answer that one because, yeah,
because I know that you also seek to introduce property investors federation conference, which is a group of people who are very committed to raising rents. So I find it
really
hard
to believe.
Which is the question? So that's not the statement. That's a statement, not a question.
Yes.
So she's saying that it's hard to believe because of some property investors conference or something?
We have lots of conferences in Wellington. It's one of the things that Wellington does really, really well, because we're a place where people come together to have lots of conferences. And if people ask me to, as mayor, to support a conference which is in Wellington, generally speaking, I will do that. Doesn't matter who it is, within reason.
Cool. Thank you. Next one is Paul.
Yeah, look, I'd certainly like to better understand what, you know, if the services aren't working and the providers that you are dealing with aren't delivering, then I'd be happy to facilitate a conversation with those providers to say, look, these just simply aren't working for our people. If it sounds like we need, you're saying it sounds like we need more affordable housing, then that's going to take time. But I know that I've sat in this church for a previous meeting, and there have been other community housing providers here who are looking at homes that could help.
Ray's next. Go, Ray.
Thanks. I've also had various discussions. Housing always comes up. Community housing always comes up. Social housing always comes up. And so I would need to talk to all the parties involved, because I really don't understand enough about it to differentiate between one group and another.
Ellen?
Thanks. Good question. I try not to get onto public transport, one of my favourite things. But I know I work in a low-cost housing option for women, for transitional housing, and I know it's really hard to find spaces. So I don't really have an answer for trans and LGBTQ people in particular, but I know that there's a real shortage of emergency and transitional housing now, and there's also a real shortage of affordable long-term housing. I really support public housing, I really support council housing, I really support the government providing public housing, and I think that's in a way, it's the only way to get address some of the affordability issue.
Tori.
100% support community housing and social housing, and trying to work with the government to extend the income related subsidy, and also working with the government to look at kind of some regulations around rent to, so for that, for particular groups we can look at things like rental caps and lowering it, because at the moment it's just not affordable and we want our community to be here in Wellington. It's too expensive. In terms of access to services around sexual violence, whether it's I'm a volunteer for Wellington Rape Crisis and Women's Refuge, so whether it's about incorporating into those groups or creating a separate one, I'd want to work with the community to decide on which was the correct one to do.
Thanks, Tori.
Hamish, I think for the next couple of questions, let's just do one or two candidates and you just select.
Sure. Okay, I select them. Okay, no pressure.
I've lived in Wellington for 34 years. I know that Wellington City has sister cities in other parts of the world. I have very little idea of what that looks like in terms of what actually happens. I would like to know what candidates have to enhance those relations, and in particular with rainbow communities and our sister cities in other parts of the world.
Thanks, Wayne. Good question. You must have been here since kindergarten. It's Tori. As soon as you've got the microphone, you might as well start.
Oh yeah, I think the idea of sister cities is damn exciting, and it's something that I hugely support. And I know we already have established that with a couple overseas. I don't know how to answer this question, to be honest.
Okay, sure.
Just that I fully support it, but Andy? I'm not even going to try waffle.
Andy, do you want to answer, or Paul? Does anyone have a?
Yeah, look, I've had the opportunity when I was Deputy Mayor to go to Osaka in Japan. So that's Sakai is one of Wellington's sister cities. But with your lens on it saying, hey, look, how do we connect better with the rainbow community? Yeah, why not? I mean, this is part of the you know, when these itineraries are done up, then we should be engaging better. I mean, I think that was about 7 years ago. There's generally a business or an economic focus. We could put a people in a rainbow focus on a trip too.
Thanks, Paul. Andy?
Well, I had a meeting today with some members of our Greek community about deepening the relationship between us and our sister city, Hania. We've actually got 10 sister cities, but the one I will focus on is Canberra. So I went to Canberra a couple of months ago, and we had a specific meeting with their Office of LGBTQI+. Affairs, which is a really, really positive conversation. Of course, Andrew Barr is proudly gay, the Chief Minister of ACT, and in fact he attended the Rainbow Wellington AGM last year, I think it was, too. So there's a real keenness to develop that relationship between the Canberra community and our community, and have an MOU specifically between the two rainbow communities. So I think there's some real mileage there.
Thanks. We'll just go on to the next question. Next question, is that Jeremy? Go for it.
My question is especially to all candidates, if possible, but especially to Andy. In response to a comment that Andy made a few minutes ago, Andy, you said that you give out grants to the rainbow community to the tune of 10...
No,
what did you say?
There's $10 million in grants available.
To be fair, I'm not quite sure what the number is, but I think it's around that kind of number, that there'll be some rainbow organisations within that. So, no, yeah, we sure. Certainly do not give $10 million to any part of the community in terms of grants. No. We, it's split among a whole range of different organisations.
Right. You're not sure of it? Yeah. I was going to say, would you increase that grant pool?
The way we do grants is that organisations make applications for grants, and they're across a whole range of different social, cultural, community, etc. Areas, and they go through officers give advice, and a committee makes decisions around those. I think the one thing probably is that for organisations which are long-standing organisations, if we can make those grants longer so that there is greater certainty for them, in terms of the actual amount, I mean, that's something which we would make a decision on as part of our budget. and it does get lifted periodically, and is significantly higher than it used to be. And of course that largesse effectively is spread across the community, across all of those different organisations.
Any dissent? Hearing none. Next question.
Kia ora. I want to start by just quickly prefacing, and not going on too long, that I am one of those 1 in 5 trans people that was homeless, and that was earlier this year. While I heard a lot of answers that direct the answers around housing affordability in the long run, I want to know what candidates have immediate plans to actually address trans rights and trans inclusivity, rather than long-term plans.
Cool. Did you ask that? So, get on the mic, ask a question. What do you want to ask?
What are your immediate plans to increase to support trans rights rather than long-term plans?
But housing's already in there, is that right as well?
I mean, like, housing was mentioned before, but yeah. I think every housing answer there, which was focused on before, was focused on long-term housing, and I'm talking about more immediate things, you know, the kind of things that can actually happen within the first 6 months to a year.
Microphone. Is anything particular you're looking for?
Well, I mean, that's exactly my question. I mean, I have things in my, I have ideas in my brain, but I'm interested to hear in what the candidates here have in terms of initiatives that they think could better support our community.
Ellen, do you have some clarity? Go for it.
I'm not sure this is going to answer your question exactly, but for trans rights, I think some of the things that we've just been talking about, the grants and community grants for groups, supporting maybe a better housing option for trans people in particular, having a park that, or a space, that for people, trans people, LGBT, rainbow, sorry, I can never get the names out, that some of those sort of things. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're after, but that would be something that you could achieve in 3 years, I think.
Tori, did you have something?
I kind of want to touch on what I said at the beginning. So first and foremost, I think it's really up to the mayor to advocate for trans rights and providing a safe space to actually hear from the community what you'd like to see. Based on what I've been what I've heard, some priorities that I would make is, you know, we discussed housing and rents before. I would like more quicker access to mental health support and alcohol drug harm reduction, and just essentially creating a safe space for us to collaborate and for you to feel heard and to push against hateful groups that are undermining your rights.
Thanks, Tori. We've got another question here, sure.
Kia ora. This is just a very quick sort of yes-no thing for all of them. But can we just get on the record whether or not you believe that trans women are real women and whether trans men are real men?
100%!
So that's a yes-no answer for all of you. So, Ray, what was your answer? Start with you.
I actually don't know. I haven't looked at that, so I don't know.
Yes.
Paul? Yes from Paul?
A hard yes.
Hard yes.
Oh, very
yes, okay,
what's a
thank
hard
you.
Yes look like? Yes. Yes.
A big yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that was a unanimous yes with anyway. Go Ray. Shut up, Hamish. See why I don't interpret anything. So is that it for tonight?
Yeah, I think we'll just wrap it up there because you guys have to get up to Brooklyn for 7 o'clock. But just on behalf of Rainbow Wellington, just a big thank you. You'll see one of these in your pew. This is a little bit of the work that we do, and you can find out a little bit more about us. We've got a number of campaigns that we're working on. One of the things that we have is a patronage with the Mayor of Wellington. So that's Andy Foster at the moment, and we've been able to do a number of things with Andy and put the pressure on the Mayor. So we hope that you guys will all... say yes. We've been able to have some hard and frank conversations with Andy, and I have really appreciated that. So that's good. But one of the things that I would love that you guys would commit to is within the first couple of months of you coming on board is actually having a bit of a hooey, and with the specific groups, to say and actually sit down and listen to exactly the needs. And none of the bullshit, just really listening, you know?
So
it would be my thing, yeah.
So very good statement. So for the tape, just a quick yes, no. Are we going to do it, Alan?
Sounds like a great idea.
Yes?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, but I wouldn't like the council to put any money into it. I'll pay for it myself.
Perfect. Ooh, love that.
Very good.
Oh, well done, Ray.
Okay.
So thank you very much, community, for coming tonight, and for being honest and open with your questions. They do have to get to another thing, so I do have to cut it off there, and I'm sorry if you weren't able to ask your question. But yeah, we'll be sticking around if you've got any questions for the, Rainbow Wellington board. Thank you very much.
And thank, I get the last word. But out. So, thanks. Thanks heaps, Kevin, for karakia at the beginning. Thanks for your vulnerability in asking the questions. Sometimes when we have to ask questions, it makes us feel extremely vulnerable. So thanks for being willing to come along and share that. Thanks to Lucas, our wonderful timekeeper. I couldn't have done that. I don't have the attention span, clearly. And Wayne and Craig. And remember, if you want to listen to this again, because remember, the responses were on tape here. So I've just moved back from Cairns and we had a mayor who said, we will do this, we will do this, we will do this. And of course, once he was mayor, he didn't do anything. It's Australia after all. And, but nobody had recorded it. So we really love the fact that this is recorded. So thanks to Gareth from, Pride New Zealand. There's a website, and if you want to hear more of me, I'm on there. I feature. Yeah, no, sorry. Be a part of this community. You'll feature as well. Thanks very much.